If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We will read verses 4 through 7 as we think about ordinary things out of the ordinary fullness. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Here we are at the beginning of a new year. In fact, we are gathered on the first day of the new year, 2006. There is so much potential ahead and so much that we leave behind in 2005. Of course, now with all of the holiday eating that has occurred from Thanksgiving through Christmas and probably even through New Year's Eve, and with the prospect of hog jowls, collard greens, and black-eyed peas, or if you don't eat hog jowls, some kind of pork, collards, and black-eyed, at least south of the Mason-Dixon line, you might wonder why we're going to talk about fullness, because many of us probably are not just full, but over full. Or as my friend Steve Litton says, we're probably full as a tick. Not only that, think about the prospect of all the bowl games and all the eating that goes on there, which really makes me wonder if maybe that's why they're really called bowl games. Well, you don't even eat off a plate. You have to have a bowl, and it's not a little bowl. It's a big bowl. All those college bowl games, and then the first weekend in February, the Super Bowl. Plenty of eating. They would say the average person between the beginning of November and New Year's Day puts on 8 to 10 pounds. But if you consider the fact that people don't get out as much in January and February, and you've got all the bowl games and the Super Bowl, probably by February the average person has put on 14 pounds. Don't share any of yours with me. I'll have enough of a problem as it is. But we know something about being full, at least physically, at this time. And one of the resolutions that is the most often made and one of the quickest to be broken has to do with exercise and diet. But we're not going to talk about dieting this morning. I want to speak about being full this year, and not just full of food, but finding fullness of life, starting today and moving on throughout 2006. Now, we've looked at this passage before, and if you write down dates of things, you're going to say, wait a minute, we dealt with this back at Father's Day in the last couple of years. And the emphasis that day was on God's fatherhood and our being children. But that's not where we're going today. In fact, most people, in dealing with this passage, deal with it only from the standpoint of fatherhood and being heirs. And while there may be some mention of that, I want to focus more on the first phrase, the concepts out of when the fullness of time had come. Or if you're reading from the King James, it says, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. These particular words express an important philosophy of history for Paul and for all Christians. Paul's treatise here is based on proclaiming and explicating the redemptive history that comes in Jesus' advent, the season that we have just come through, the Advent time, including His death and His resurrection later. As we have just come through the Advent season, we need to understand how the Advent and work of Christ is the revelation of God's fulfillment, God's fulfilling activity in history, an activity that has gone on since the beginning, seeking to redeem and have relationship with people like us, some who are terribly bad and some who are not quite so bad and try to be good, but still people who need redeeming, or as George sang a while ago, people who need the Lord, as we all do. The breaking through of salvation in the coming of Jesus that we have just celebrated is immediately found in an ordinary day and an ordinary time, and really a rather ordinary occurrence, if you think about it. A woman giving birth to a baby. An ordinary day, just like so many other days in ancient Palestine. But that ordinary day, because of God's fullness in time, became unlike any other day that had ever been or has been since. Just another birth of a boy, an ordinary everyday occurrence. A boy born to struggling parents, if you think about it. Struggling parents in a small town in difficult times, wondering how they were going to pay the next bill and where the next meal was coming from, and how they could afford to take this time out for this census and for this birth. Parents with hopes and dreams for this baby boy's future. An ordinary occurrence. For how many parents do not wonder the same kinds of things? How many parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and others do not have hopes and dreams for those new children? And yet, this baby boy, who looked and seemed so ordinary, is unlike any other child ever born. The Son of God, but not just an ordinary God, the extraordinary God. In an ordinary time, on an ordinary day, with ordinary parents, a carpenter, a young woman who didn't work, God brought fullness of the times and fulfillment. Fulfillment of salvation history and fulfillment of time itself. In Jesus of Nazareth, the time of the world has come to a conclusion. Let me say that again. In Jesus of Nazareth, the time of the world has come to a conclusion. The fulfillment of the times has taken effect and has been settled, and it is the time of God in Christ, not the time of the world. Although some people would argue and look around and see all the things going on and all the terror and the horrors going on in the world. But you know, unfortunately, the wars and the horrors and the struggling that occur today are ordinary because they've occurred throughout history. But it is God in Christ who changes the ordinary to extraordinary, and who brings fullness when there is a dearth of love, when there are people wondering, is there ever going to be an end to the struggle What we have is more than a certain saving event that we must embrace. Rather, what we have in this birth that we have celebrated and that brings us to this new year, a new beginning, is a decisive and long-expected coming of God. Think about it. Throughout the Old Testament and even into Jesus' day, the question was asked, how long, O Lord? The longing was for Messiah to come, to rule, to reign. The day of redemption and salvation came in all of its fullness. On that new day, an ordinary day. But you know, this is not just a new creation for you and me as individuals, though that is part of what has occurred. And what we have here at the beginning of this new year, but rather it is also the recreation of the world. God is recreating the world. In the fullness of the times, God sums up all things anew in Jesus the Christ. The waiting of all the ages has ended, and the ultimate intervention of God has begun for everyone. And in that is the fulfillment of God's promise to the world. The fulfillment made in the beginning, that promise. The promise of fulfillment given to Abraham and continuing throughout Israel's history. The promise that was given through the prophets, and in particular through the prophetic hymns of Isaiah. The promise that was given to the shepherds and to the Magi, to Mary and to Joseph, that this child is Messiah and will save his people from their sins. Not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, his people, anyone who will come and accept that fullness of time. The faith experienced through Christ's redemption brings a new mode of existence in that ultimate manifestation of God's grace. God's grace that fulfills the hope for redemption, because Jesus was born under the law. Jesus lived with the law throughout his life. Yet as the time was full for his coming and he filled God's chosen moment for you and me, Jesus went beyond the law and filled the world with God's grace and love. You know, we've just come through a rather exhausting season. If you think about it, there are people who will tell you, if you get them off to the side, they really don't look forward to Christmas because it is so exhausting. Searching for the gifts, getting out into the malls, driving down the road. I try to avoid the mall like the plague around Christmas time, not just for getting in the crowds, but as I have admitted before, I do have a little bit of road rage, and sometimes I wear out the horn. It's exhausting with all of its activities and all of the parties and all of the gatherings, the wrapping and the wondering and the counting. Well, let's see, we've got so many children and we spent this on this one, we're short on that one, we're short on this one. Ever go through that? Or, well, let's see, we gave the in-laws this and the parents this, and then the other one says, oh, but we gave the in-laws this and my parents this. It's exhausting. Especially in modern times. But you know, with all that activity and all that seeming happiness, so many people are empty at Christmas. There are many people that are empty at Christmas. Now, I know a lot of people would argue because Christmas is so commercialized. And that may be part of it. But a friend of mine was talking not too long ago and said, well, Christmas has been commercialized, but for some of us it might be because Christmas has become so religious and over-religious that we're urged to believe without doing much to help others experience the fullness of God, the coming of God among us. We face so much that is superficial these days surrounding Christmas. But as one has recently written, the God of Christmas faith is different from all other gods. They demanded hard work in order for them to create, or for people to create for them. But God creates freely, giving of Himself and of His fullness for the good of others. They sit on the mountaintops giving orders, but God comes to His people where they are and rules in person through love. God allows ordinary days to be filled with divine fullness and sacredness. Therefore, any and every day can be extraordinary and full as we are allowed to choose what we will do for God and for others. While Christmas speaks of a God who is with us, many people live as if God is with us only sometimes. And yet, part of the fullness of the times is that God is here every day, around us, in us, by us. There is only the present for God. And that present is in the middle of us each and every day. And God is all that God can be every day. If we miss the fullness and experience emptiness, it is because we are not reaching out. It is because we are not accepting the fullness that God gives. But when we do so, God brings fullness to ordinary lives on ordinary days, just as certainly as God brought fullness to ordinary parents, Mary and Joseph, on a seemingly ordinary day in a very lowly and ordinary place. For you see, when the world's time was full and ripe, God sent forth His Son to give us life, full life, everlasting. And here we come on the first day of 2006. We look past into 2005, and there are many things that were good and some that were not so good. But you know, we have 2006. And there will be ordinary days where things don't seem to go so well, and there will be ordinary days where we think things are going just fine. But this new year brings opportunities for all of us to look beyond the ordinary and find the fullness of God, to find those opportunities for us all to live lives of fullness. And we will find, when we do so, out of the ordinary, we will be full to overflowing. And that is the promise God gives us as children, as heirs. The ordinary is extraordinary with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we get caught up in all the hype that surrounds holidays, and we sometimes can't wait for them to be over so that things can get back to normal and we can go about ordinary times once again. Help us to find that there is no ordinary with You. Not when Your fullness has come. There is only extraordinary. When we feel like things are just the same, fill us with Your fullness. Bring us to know But out of the ordinary, you create something extraordinary. And help us to share that with others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 367. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. We've just come through the tumult, as I said a while ago, of Christmas celebrations and shopping and after Christmas returns and sales. Perhaps your lives have been in tumult for the last few weeks. But as Jesus calls us, He doesn't call us to tumultuous lives. He calls us out of tumultuous, ordinary days into the fullness of His love and time. Hymn number 367.